series has been like an absolute joy. And I feel like what God wants to do in your life and relationship with him is take you from like black and white, like the very first teaching that we did, take you from like a black and white, pretty basic understanding of like who God is and that you're loved and like that kind of thing. And even receiving the gospel that you're forgiven, you're set free from sin. But then God has so much more for you than just that. Like, he wants to bring you into the adventure of life in him. Which is like, I heard this metaphor once. How many of you in the room just love Disneyland? Love a good Disney trip? Anybody? Okay, can we be honest? Okay. I when you're an adult and you can do Disney with your adult friends, it's actually like a vibe. It's so much more fun. Think of Disneyland. This was a really helpful metaphor one time when a friend told me, most people that follow Jesus essentially take their relationship and their forgiveness from God like a ticket into Disneyland. But then they take that ticket, they go through the front door, and then they go and they sit in the corner by the gate. And they're like, look, I'm just happy to be here. Like, look, I'm in Disney. Look, I'm in Disney. Right? Like, it smells good and the bricks are clean, right? But like, that's the extent of their relationship in God. Just basically the sentence, I'm just glad to be here. And I believe that a relationship with the Holy Spirit, living with the empowering presence of God in you, moving through you in the world, is basically like taking you from just sitting at the front gate and saying, go, explore, have fun, run with your friends, like go do what you were actually designed to do. Because God has more for you than to just grovel in your sin and to just try to like survive life in the modern world. He actually wants you to be empowered by him to go and do things that you never thought were possible on your own. And so the Holy Spirit is like this person. It's of the three persons of God that his favorite thing to do in the world is to help you to live the life that you were designed to live. So we're going to talk about this a little bit tonight around the topic of prophecy. And when we talk about prophecy, this could seem like really ambiguous or kind of like a weird topic of like, what do you mean when you say prophecy? But we want to make this as like easy and accessible that like by the end of tonight, you actually have some tools to know how to step into the gift of prophecy that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about. So the first 3 weeks in this series, we did, who is the Holy Spirit? It's the empowering presence of God. It's not a force, it's a person that you can know. What does the Spirit do? He wants to empower you to be able to love others and to love God in the ways that we can't do on our own, to even take your human capabilities and take you to another level. And then why do we need the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit because I don't naturally love people and love God. We have this thing in our hearts, in the human heart called sin, that actually bends us inward, that like our desires, the things that we naturally lean toward are things that lead us toward our own self-destruction. But what the Holy Spirit does is that he invades your life, invades your heart, and he actually changes the motivational structures of your heart. And he changes your ability to live in the world to where you can actually love people and you can be a conduit of his love and healing in the world. So that's what we're up to. And then the next thing was a fruit of the Spirit, Germa's teaching, that we don't have to fight to like try to be patient or just try to be kind or try to be gentle. These things flow out of you, just like Zara said, as you live in relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then last week, we did a panel discussion on hearing God. And God speaks in so many different ways. He speaks to Ava differently than he speaks to me, differently than he speaks to Malachi. And that's the way that God's wired us. And it's actually something that we don't have to be afraid of, but he loves to give unique experiences and to speak to us in a unique voice. It's really beautiful. But tonight we're gonna be in 1 Corinthians 14. And this is one of my favorite passages because I believe that it makes the prophetic a really accessible thing. And so by the end of tonight, I want this to feel like you guys have a kind of grasp on what is prophecy and how do we practice this here at Youth of the City. Like, we don't want to just have like ideas about God, but we want to be equipped to know how to show up into spaces like this so that we can have experiences with God so that we can take it out into the world and bring the prophetic gift to the world. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1, and then we're going to skip down to verse 3. Here we go. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. In verse 3, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So just like we talked about, the gifts of the Spirit are given to you so that you can love other people. Like that's the whole game here. If you ever try to use the gifts of the Spirit to puff yourself up or be like, look at how amazing that I am, when pride enters that environment, then the Holy Spirit can lift his hand off of what you're doing. So what we want to do is that we want to bring the right heart of God loving people and using us. So that same heart exists within prophecy. So from the very beginning of the Bible, from Genesis, if you were to go back to Genesis and read Genesis 1 verse 27, it's where God forms man and woman out of the dirt and that he blesses them and says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, rule over it and subdue it. Basically, there is this intimate relationship where what God wants to have happen, like what God's thoughts are, what his intentions are for the world, and humans are actually living in sync. They're like, we live in such a broken, messed up world right now that we don't have a frame of reference for the fact that God and humans can actually live in sync with one another, like perfectly in sync with thought, heart, mind, body, environment, all of it. And so we read that in the first pages of scripture. So if you were to go up to Adam and Eve and you were to be like, hey, could you explain to me prophecy really quickly? Like what does prophecy mean? They would probably have no idea what you're talking about. They would have no idea because there was a time where it's like, well, I'm here and you know, Eve is here and God is there and we have conversations and sometimes God tells her things and then she brings stuff to me and then I bring stuff to her. It's like, what is prophecy, right? Prophecy is this thing that we've needed as a gift to come back to restore a kind of communicative relationship that you were always designed to have with God. It's not this one-off weird crazy thing about the future. Prophecy is meant to be the normal conversational relationship that you have with the God of the universe. So what you see when sin enters the story, it's basically human beings having this relationship with God and throwing their fingers in their ears and just saying, God, we don't want a communication with you. We don't want a relationship with you. We will define good and evil on our own terms. And what that does is that it creates this fractured relationship between God's thoughts, God's heart and his world and the human's experience of that same world. The beautiful thing in the story is that God doesn't give up on human beings. Like sometimes when I get rejected as a friend or I get just rejected in different capacities, like I'm not the first one to be like, oh, but like, it's okay. Let me come and like try to make it better. I'm like, dude, you hurt me. Like you offended me. You rejected me. You don't want to be my, you don't want my relationship. Fine. I'll be over here. Right? Like that's my like normal Ben. But like God in his heart is like, humans reject him. Humans say, we don't want anything to do with you. And God still pursues human beings. It's crazy. God could just let the human project run toward its own self-destruction. But God says, I'm not giving up on these people. And what he does is that he comes near to them and he appoints these people throughout the nation of Israel that are called prophets. And these are people that hear the voice of God and that continue to communicate with God's people that he hasn't given up on you. And they encourage the nation of Israel, don't give up on him. But it's just these few select people. One of these prophets is named Moses. And Moses, in Numbers chapter 11, he realizes, looking around, he's like, there aren't many prophets. There's not many people that have the gift of the Holy Spirit on their life right now. And that grieves his heart. And he says in Numbers chapter 11, I wish that all would prophesy. Moses says, I wish that everyone could have the kind of relationship with God that I do. He was one of the few. Next, we get to Joel chapter 2. Can you put Joel chapter 2 up there? Joel chapter 2, this has been kind of a base verse for us, but it's really important to understand the trajectory of God. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the ways that we have access to him, the people in the Hebrew scriptures did not have the same level of access to God's Spirit. So the prophets need to come, Moses and then in Joel here, and they're declaring about a day when all people will have access to the same Spirit that they did. It says this, and afterward, this is God speaking, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And the beautiful thing is that when we get to Jesus and he comes, he actually is the fulfillment. He is the one that kicks off this project. Because Jesus is the first perfectly Spirit-filled human. And Jesus is 100% God, but he's also 100% human. The book of Philippians chapter 2 says that he emptied himself. He completely emptied himself. God of the universe emptied himself and took on the form of a man. So then when Jesus, he's baptized in the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit descends on him and fills him. This kicks off the ministry of Jesus. And he is the first person that begins this cycle that says that all people will experience God's Spirit. So you guys know the scene of Jesus on the cross. And the moment that Jesus dies, there's this curtain that separates the most holy place where God's Spirit is thought to have dwelt in that physical place. And Jesus' death, the curtain that separated normal people from God's presence, it rips from the top to the bottom. And the age of the Spirit is ushered in. And this is the time that we live in now. We live in the age of the Spirit. Sometimes we roll into environments like this and we're like, yeah, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this is just like normal. This is like what we do. This was not normal. The access that you have to the very heart of God is not normal in human history. It's not normal throughout the pages of Scripture. But it begins to be normal after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. If you guys want to check out Jeremiah chapter 31, this is another moment that I think really brings it into focus, what God is trying to do. I promise this is all going to make sense into prophecy. But it says this, Jeremiah speaks of the age of the Spirit that we're living in right now. And he says, I will put my law, or I'll put my instruction in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. So see, having the instruction of God in your mind and having like the way that God feels about the world written on your very heart, this is the kind of restoration stuff that we're talking about when it's like we've lost that connection in Genesis. But there is a day coming where that actually, that kind of connection into the heart and mind of God will be complete, and Jesus makes that possible for us. So prophecy, it can be kind of like confusing and scary to talk about. Like if you were to just say like to a random person on the street, like what's a prophecy, right? They might tell you like, oh, it's where you kind of like have your future told. It's like a fortune teller that like can predict the future, right? But that's not really how the scriptures talk about prophecy for the most part. This is, when you read Paul in the New Testament, this is supposed to be kind of like the normal everyday rhythms of life and following Jesus. This isn't like one-off things. This isn't for special people, only special people at a special conference. This is like the normal life of someone who knows God. Just a really simple definition of prophecy. Yeah, thank you, Levi. You're killing it. A simple definition of prophecy is God relaying a specific message through you to someone else. God wants to speak on the earth, And an amazing way that he does this is through human relationships and through human dynamics. Greg Haslam is a scholar on the Holy Spirit, and he had this to say about prophecy, a bit of like a built-out definition. Prophecy is a phenomenon that results directly from the access the Holy Spirit has to our minds, whereby he can create pictures in our imagination, supernatural dreams while we're asleep. He can put words, ideas, or scriptures into our heads with such force that we know that there is something that carries with it the responsibility to pass on and relay what the Holy Spirit has communicated. And this is what we're talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And you may be here and this whole thing might seem like crazy. You mean God wants to like give me a message to speak to someone else? Like, this seems like unattainable. And I just want to give you just a few framing metaphors. So when I became a father a few months ago, I don't know that I could have told you the difference between like Powell's cries and any other baby's cries, like at all. It's like a screaming baby is a screaming baby in my mind. I brought a little photo of him and my buddy Christian from my trip in Portland. Just cause like, come on, right? And sometimes he's like super happy like this. Other times he gets like upset. And I can remember one time it was, we were at the church gathering at the high school. And I'm sitting in the front row, and there were like two or three babies that like cried during that teaching. And each time, like I was like, no, it's not Powell. Oh, it's not Powell. And then Powell cried and I knew him. Like I knew his cry, I knew his squeak. And it wasn't even like this loud extended thing, but I like knew it. My ear at, you know, 2 and 3 a.m. has been tuned to hear and know when he's upset. But it's like, I can pick it out in a room and it's really specific. And I want to say the same thing is possible as you grow in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You can know what his voice sounds like. And let me tell you, there is no better place to start to tune your ear to the voice of God than to read scripture. To get this, especially if you read the Gospels and you get this imprint on your very spirit of what God's character is, how he navigates like situations that are really intense, how he loves people that are hard to love, how he shows up into church environments, how he shows up into basically bars and places where there's all of this sin and prostitution. How does Jesus navigate the world? What does he say? What are his conversations about? And as you start to spend time with him, man, you just like can pick his voice out of all of the thoughts and the chaos of your own heart and mind. He starts to become way more clear. So let's look down. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3. It actually gives us a couple anchors when you're asking yourself the question, okay, what does prophecy sound like? What does God's voice through another person, what is that supposed to sound like? So let's check out 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. It says this: the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening. Can you guys say strengthening? Encouraging. And comfort. Strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. And then if you look back up at verse 1, it says that we are to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So I've been excited about this teaching for a while because I just think that there is something about a group of people that says we want to be conduits of the words of God in a space. What happens when you're open to that and you start to step out in an environment of risk? You know what happens? Strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. You know what I need in my life? Strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. You know what you need in your life? Strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Like, we're desperate for this. And not only us in this room, I would argue our world is desperate for this. And you know what's wild to me is that the people of God can have access to the very presence of God and yet not step out in prophecy to strengthen, encourage, and comfort the world. That blows my mind. It's like having access to billions of dollars and not spending a single cent to heal the world, to redeem anything. And I just want to say that, like, if we can be a group that steps in and starts to practice this, the DNA of this family will change. And I would say that we have, like, dabbled with prophecy. We've, like, kind of stepped our little, you know, chubby toddler feet into, like, into the shallow end of this thing. And it's been a really fun shallow end, I will say. But, like, there's so much more. There's so much more. And for those of you that are, like, about to get ready to, like, launch out to university, like, getting this figured out will make you stand out like crazy. When you step onto your college campus and you step onto it with the mind of God, relaying the thoughts of God to your college roommate, to your professors. For those of you that are in high school, like, you step onto your campus at Brooklyn Tech or Geneva or wherever you're at, and you're just like filled. Like, you literally can't walk down the halls of your school without having the thoughts of God flowing through your mind for people. Beautiful thing in pre-gathering prayer, Abby was just talking about how she sits on the subway on the way to school and is just inundated with thoughts about other people that God wants to, like, give her to have a conversation with them, to share her faith with them. And she's like, she said in the room, she's like, I just want to sit on my commute, God. Like, just leave me alone on my commute, right? But the Lord is just downloading, like, his love for people into her with this urgency to say, hey, I have something for you. Will you be a vessel that takes this to someone else? Can you go to the UPS slide? This is the idea from the Holy Spirit. Through you, you're wearing the khakis and the boots, right? Through you to others. And the glory doesn't come back up to you. The glory actually goes to the giver of the gift, and that is God himself. Okay, so let's wrap up with some practicals here. There's three different aspects, three different parts of prophecy. Can you go to that slide? It's like with the colorful one. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Two claps for Levi. Grateful. Okay. There's three different parts to prophecy. The first is revelation. The second is interpretation. And the third is application. Okay. So revelation is about what God says. And like we said last week, in a talk on hearing God, we believe that God is not done speaking to humanity. Like, when Revelation, like, the last period went on the page of Revelation, that wasn't the end of God speaking. But God continues to speak and move in the world in perfect alignment with what he's written in his word. Just because we have God's word doesn't mean that that's the final word. He continues to move and speak, but will never contradict what he says in the Bible, which is amazing. So I want to just bring us into, like, a few different ways that this revelation can, like, hit us. Like, just like Josh said, the ways that God speaks to you specifically may be different than other people. So what are some different ways that God can speak? The number one way that we see God speak is through scripture. And I think about last week, you might remember when Jason was up on the panel, and Jason was talking about having this word from God that just, like, hit him in his heart. It said, a day with you is better than 1,000 days anywhere else. And we get that from Psalm 84. And then we're in pre-gathering prayer over here, and that same exact moment, or maybe like the next day, Hudson is in the prayer room, or he's in the pre-gathering prayer, and he just says, hey, I actually get this verse from Psalm 84. A day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And that was a moment where I believe that Hudson was speaking in the spirit that actually impacted Jason and told Jason something about God's heart. So if Hudson was, like, holding that back or being, like, timid with that, it's like he would have missed out on an opportunity for God to speak into Jason's heart. The next is like a specific word. I've seen this in a bunch of different settings where like maybe just a theme, a word comes into your mind that you just can't like shake it. You can't move on from it. There's this guy who I used to work under in Portland. His name is Richard. And he has this story about a gathering where it was similar to this. And they were going into a time of like prayer ministry. And this middle schooler comes up to the front of the room and grabs the microphone. They were doing a little bit of like, hey, is God speaking or saying anything tonight? The middle schooler grabs the mic. He stands up and he just says, "The." And the pastor was kind of like, okay, like, what do you mean? He's like, okay, the what? Like, the love, like the spirit, right? It was just like, no, it's just the word the. And it was wow. There was a person in the gathering that just like shot their hand up in the air and said, that word was for me. He said, look, I've been very skeptical about this like God speaking thing. And I said, if someone would get up on the microphone and say the word the, I would believe that God is real. Yeah. And so this middle schooler is just like, okay, I have this word. This is probably stupid. This whole room is going to think like I'm an idiot, right? But the bravery just to step up and say, if this is a word from God, I want to deliver it. And then he does and watches God move. It's just so beautiful. The next is that you could get like a phrase dropped into your mind. A little while ago, we were actually in this room and Dr. David Ireland was preaching and he just had this phrase for one of our friends from Scotland. He's a pastor in Scotland and he had this phrase, governmental authority. And he just places his hands on this guy and says, I just believe that God is opening doors of governmental authority over your life. And this guy's like a pastor. Like he's like, what do you mean governmental authority? He's like, thanks for the weird prophecy, right? And then he flies back to Scotland and a bunch of people are saying like, Tommy, where have you been? Where have you been? Like the government officials of Scotland are trying to get in touch with you because we need you to step up and lead the entire church of Scotland. Like this, and it's crazy because it's just someone that had this phrase, governmental authority, that had the boldness to lay hands and just declare something over Tommy that unlocks something in the spirit. The next is of like a picture. So particularly for those of us that are a little bit more like visually wired, this could apply to you. I think of like Levi often is hit with more like visions and pictures in his mind than like texts or words or anything like that. And that's so beautiful. I think of like my time in Portland, I had this little guy who he was like maybe 13 years old. And we're doing pre-gathering prayer, and he just delivers this word that's like very specific. It's the name of a girl. He said, a high school senior girl named Ashley, who right before she came like into youth, she got in an argument with her parents, got dropped off, and had the door slammed in her face. And he's like, I think that God wants to speak to her. We had a bit of a larger group. And so we're at the front of, I was actually in this series, and we just deliver that word, and we have this you know, senior girl, this like beautiful like senior girl, like come down like the middle of the aisle and just land on her face, just start crying before God. And it was wild because in that moment is like my wife came around and we were like doing, you know, we could have just like had that prayer moment, but it was crazy because I went and got Lincoln and he's like this pudgy 13-year-old kid. I actually went and got his hand and like walked him over. And when he saw that it was like the cheerleader, like type like senior girl, he was like terrified, right? He was like literally like shaking as like I was bringing him up. I was like, no, you're supposed to pray for her, right? And he's like, no, don't make me do it, right? We bring him over and he like lay his hand like on her shoulder and was just able to just pray like God sees you, like God knows you. He actually has something for you. So it could be that like you get this kind of like a short film or like an image that like runs through your mind. Another way that God can speak is just like a gut feeling, just like a sense, like in your gut, just a sense in your spirit. I told you this maybe 2 weeks ago, and some of you weren't here, didn't hear it. I was at this college gathering. I lead the college ministry here at Church of the City as well. And I'm sitting in this moment of prayer ministry, and Xavier Tafoya, gets this word from God that he's supposed to come and talk to me and ask me a specific question. At the time, my brother Jet has just been like going through a lot of like really tough stuff. He's kind of on the other side of it, but he made a few choices that could have really screwed up his future and screwed up his life. And I'm just in the middle of this, just feeling like my stomach is in my, like in my shoes, because I'm like, I wish that Jet could have made better choices. I wish that maybe there was something that I could have done to be there for him in a better way or whatever. And it's just like killing me as I'm like leading this prayer gathering or leading this college gathering. And Xavier comes over to me and he's like, hey, I just have this feeling that I'm supposed to ask you, is there anything wrong happening in Jet's life? Like, God is giving me just a feeling that we need to pray for Jet. Xavier's never really even asked me about Jet before, you know, not because he's bad, but just because like, he's just never asked me about him. And he's just like this, sometimes you just like know. And I think that God will sometimes just give you a sense of like knowing that he wants you to move forward in. The next is like having like a sensation in your body. This often happens particularly around calls for healing and healing prayer. And we actually had one in pre-gathering prayer tonight. Evie came up to me and was like, hey, during prayer, I just had this sense that like there was like burning in my legs. And she's like, I don't know if that's like supposed to be a call for healing for somebody. Someone experiences like leg pain or something that God's trying to just like wake us up to. But I just wanted to give that to you. And so God does that. Like I told this story a few weeks ago of like my jaw, like having a crazy jaw pain, because I was supposed to ask this girl at the Asbury outpouring if she had jaw pain. She did have jaw pain. We prayed, jaw pain gets released. My jaw pain goes away. Like, it was just crazy. I'm like, how does this stuff happen? So sometimes it's sensations in your bodies. Another, it's like dreams or visions. Dreams are like, you know, obviously like stuff that you see when you sleep. Visions are like a dream when you're awake. And I've only had like one like really vivid vision from God. It's like pretty terrifying, honestly. But it was like wonderful. God can speak that way. If you ever have questions about dreams and dream interpretations, you should actually hit up Girma. Like God has spoken directly into his family story through prophetic dreams and like still continues to do that. So if you have like questions about that, we would love to continue to host that with you. He actually had a dream, or Celeste had a dream that she brought to Girma that had him like kind of interpret through prayer that gave her so much hope like in the middle of her pregnancy. So it's just, this stuff is just like meant to be like normal. So that's like revelation. Can you go back to the slide before? That's like revelation. Oh, that one. Yeah. What is said? And like I said, God just speaks in all of these diverse and beautiful ways as we like pay attention to him. The next is interpretation, which is just asking the question, how am I supposed to think about this? What does this mean? So sometimes you'll get like something drop into your life, drop into your mind, and you want to weigh it. Like you just want to get curious about it. Like the best thing to do is not to just like run up to someone, be like, boom, I got this thing from God and it's for you and this is what he said. And you're just like, blah, 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 blah. You're like word vomiting. Like the best thing to do is if you sense that God has given you something, to sit with it, get curious about it, ask questions in prayer to God. What does this mean? Who is this for? And ask yourself, when is this for? And what we want to give you permission to is like your leaders in the room are here and we want to be this system of accountability. That like if you ever sense that there's something from God, but you're just not sure about it, or you want help as you're growing in this, bring these things to us because we want to help you navigate the interpretation phase. This is like so important. Because sometimes you can have an accurate word from God that because of the right interpretation in wisdom, it's actually not meant to be shared like in that moment with that person. Sometimes it is. Probably, I would say most of the time it probably is. But there are these moments where sometimes you actually need to, in prayer, in community, sit on something and actually not dish it out before it has the right moment. Sometimes God will give you a word, but the word has to be given at the right moment. And that's where interpretation comes in. And we as your leaders want to be helpful in that. And then last is application. So ask God, how is this prophecy supposed to look lived out? And if I'm honest, the application phase for me, I often leave open-ended. Or I actually leave that to what God wants to do in their life. So it's not like, hey, this is the prophetic image I have, and this is what you have to do, or you're disobeying God and you're a bad purse, right? It's like, it's not that. It's actually like, I want to allow whatever God wants to do to unlock that in them. So for some of us here, it might mean that God will give you a specific application, but it might mean that you just leave it open-ended. You leave it open-ended. Okay, so the last thing, how to step into this. How to step into this. Just really simply, and we're going to take a little bit of space tonight just to practice this together. We're gonna first listen to God. Like we talked about in the teaching last week, we live at such a fatal pace where we don't know how to sit and listen. And I think the first step, if you want to be a person that steps into the gift of prophecy, you have to learn how to silence out the chaos of your life and sit with God. Listen to him through scripture. Pay attention to the thoughts and the inner workings of your heart, especially as they move toward other people. Because the gift, like, God does a lot of like downloads and like just kind of things into my own heart. But prophecy is not primarily for me. Prophecy is how God downloads into your heart and mind the thoughts and feelings that he has for other people. And so this becomes a way that we open our life to share and love other people. So what we want to do is listen. The next thing is just see what comes to mind. Just pay attention to it. Get curious about it. Sometimes the most accurate prophetic words I've had feel the most stupid in my own mind. Like they feel like, gosh, this is ridiculous. Like, I can't believe that I'm like holding, like, I can't believe that came to mind. And sometimes if you like weigh it through and you run it by community and it's like, no, I think that word might be for someone, like having the boldness to share it, even if you maybe might write it off in your own mind. The next is interpretation through scripture. How does this line up with what God says in his word? God will never, ever, ever, ever through prophecy contradict what he's written in the Bible. Never. The next one is a question of who is this for? When is this for? And knowing that how you deliver a prophetic word may be different in different environments, different settings. So just being attentive to that, like the message needs to come through the right method and not try to ram a message through with the wrong method. It's really important. We want to love people, not take something from God and hurt other people with it. And then the last thing is just to deliver with humility. As we step into this, I just want to ask, like, never say, thus says the Lord, this is what you have to do, right? Like, don't step in with the kind of authority that like, oh, God said this, so you have to do this. Step in with humility, which basically means having sentences like this ready to go. Hey, when I was praying for you, this came to mind. Does that resonate with you? I could be off. Or say things like, hey, as we were praying, I just got this sense that I was supposed to come and speak this word or this phrase or this scripture to you. How does that land with you? And so you come not with an authority or a domination, but you come offering a gift. Like the best way to give a gift is to actually like graciously set it at someone's feet and then see what they want to do with it. Not like take the gift and then grab their hands and then grab the gift. And then it's like play with the thing, right? Like that's not love. Like that's not how this thing is supposed to work. So what you want to do is deliver prophetic words with humility. And then you know what, guys? We may get it wrong. And I have given prophetic words that haven't landed with people. That it hasn't. I thought that this was from God. I'm discerning from him. It lines up with scripture. It connects with community, there's affirmation, and so it's like, you give it. But then, just because of us being in this state before Jesus floods the earth with the manifest presence, sometimes you get it wrong. And so, we need to be a community that can actually hold this. So the next thing that I want to teach is not just how to prophesy, but actually how to receive a prophecy. How to receive this. Because we don't want to just like swallow everything whole. There's actually a verse. Can you go to the next verse on here? It's 1 Thessalonians. There's no more slides? Okay, I just have the, I thought I had a slide for it. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. And it says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Basically, don't have like a hard or jaded spirit around this. But it says, but test them all. Hold on to what's good and reject every kind of evil. So that's how we want to receive. We want to be open. We want to be hospitable. If someone feels like in boldness, they have a word from God for you, just be open, be hospitable to it. The next thing is that ABCD check that we do. So is this word affirming? Is it biblical? Is it Christ-like? Does it sound like Jesus? And then has this been double checked by other leaders and people? Then feel free to give feedback. Tell the person, hey, this really meant something to me, or this is how that connected with me. And then sometimes you get a word that might not be for that exact moment, but you'll understand it. You'll understand what that thing was trying to say months down the road, years down the road. As you hold on to things, hold it for the future, some stuff can come into focus. So what we're going to do tonight, just for the last little bit here, is that we're actually going to practice this with your leaders, okay? So what we're going to do is small groups are going to gather up, and we're just going to have an opportunity for you to pray and prophesy over your leaders, okay? So how this is going to work is you're going to get in a circle, and you're going to put the leader in the center of the circle, all right? You're going to lay hands on them if they're comfortable with that. That's a biblical image of prophecy. And then what we're going to do is we're just going to take some time and just listen. We're going to ask the question, God, is there anything that you want to say to Sarah? Is there anything that you want to say to Alex, to Phil, to Becca, right? And what we want to do is like your leaders are just going to be a safe place for you to step out and to try prophesying. Now, there's no wrong way to do this, but we want to be a community that has enough boldness and confidence that God speaks, that we're willing to create space.